This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Starting off with your futures from the Chicago Board of Trade, everything had a much better day Thursday. Corn for March was up 4¾ cents to 375.5. May corn was at 384¼, up 4¾. And July corn was up to 392¼, up 4¾ as well. Soybeans for March were up 8½ cents to 9.11. May beans were at 9¼¼, up 8¼. And July beans were up 7¾ cents to 9.37½. Chicago wheat for March was up 5¾ cents to 46.5. May wheat was at 4.91, up 6¾. And July wheat was up 5¼ to 4.93½. Soybean meal for March was up 70 cents to 305.90. May bean meal was up 60 cents to 309.80. And July bean meal was up 70 cents to 313.80. Finally, soybean oil for March was up 53 cents to 30.49. May bean oil was up 54 cents to 30.82. And July bean oil was at 31.15, also up 54 cents. Moving on to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle for February were down 70 cents to 127.62. April live cattle were at 128.60, down 60 cents. And June live cattle were down 7 cents at 119.25. Feeder cattle for March were down 65 cents at 143.22. April feeders were at 145.52, down 55 cents. And May feeders were down 12 cents at 146.87. Lean hogs for April were up $2.97 to $55.95. May lean hogs were up to $65.80, up $2.77. And June lean hogs were at $75.67, up $2.92. If you farmed for a long time, you know the good times don't last forever, and neither do the bad times. But this downturn in the farm economy has been going on for a long time. The current slowdown has many farmers looking at their operation and what changes can be made. Farmer Max Kurt Covington says after 5 years of lower commodity prices, there is not a lot of liquidity left to burn, and not a lot of working capital in rural America. Covington says leverage is increasing farmer balance sheets nationwide.
When leverage goes up, long-term debt goes up on the balance sheet, interest costs go up. When interest costs go up, profitability goes down. How does that impact that business? One, it causes them to slow down capital purchases. It causes the slowdown in expansion.
Secondly, Covington noted it forces many producers to put pencil to paper, asking what expenses can be trimmed. But what if there's no fat to trim?
Some farmers are saying, well, you know, to right-size my balance sheet, I'm going to have to sell a section of ground, or I'm going to have to sell a 40. And those are good decisions, right? You can't borrow your way out of this problem. You can't hope that things are going to get better on the marketing side to fix things.
Again, that was Farmer Max, Gert Covington. The number of acres of corn planted this spring will be a key factor in determining where the price of corn goes. University of Illinois agricultural economist Todd Hubbs took up the issue in this week's Farm Doc Daily article. Todd Gleason has more on the prospects.
He starts with a historical graph. It shows the principal crop acres in the United States and how those have changed since 1997. Both corn and soybean acreage have increased. Combined, they're up about 10% over the past two decades. Well, Illinois' Todd Hubbs uses that history to help put the number of corn and soybean acres into perspective.
When we look at the harvest soybean to corn futures price ratio this year, it's been about 2.37. There's a definite signal in this graph just from 2006 through 2018. If you're above 2.4 in that ratio, less corn acreage. If you're below 2.3, more corn acreage. And we're sort of sitting right in that middle zone. And we've seen problems with field work in large parts of the Corn Belt this fall. We've seen fertilizer and other input costs go up on corn. So the idea that we're going to see a massive increase in corn acreage, which is held by most market observers, it could happen. But under the current price structure, we might not see the kind of corn acreage we think we're going to see.
Hub says he used the 2019-2020 futures prices to forward calculate a season's average cash price for new crop corn. His calculation points to $3.81 a bushel. He then figured a stocks-to-use ratio that would fit that number.
I sort of think around an 11% stocks-to-use ratio in 2019-20 would give us $3.81. If we thought consumption was constant at 14.8 billion bushels from this marketing year to the next, that would put corn acreage around 91.7 million acres is what the market's priced in, at a 174.6 yield nationally for corn.
Finally, Hub says there isn't a lot of weather premium priced into new crop corn futures. He also says there isn't much of a premium built in for a possible trade deal with China. Hub thinks that may be just as bullish for corn as it is for soybeans. Right now, he thinks the 2.37 soybean-corn ratio feels high if the expectation is for a substantial increase in corn acreage. I'm Todd Gleason.
Bruce Hendrickson is the Special Project Coordinator for the Champaign County Soil and Water Conservation District. He was the special guest of a Farmers Roundtable meeting held at the Montgomery County University of Illinois Extension Office in Hillsboro. In our conversation, Bruce explains the newly created Saving Tomorrow's Ag Resources, or STAR program.
The STAR program is a fairly new program here in the state. Montgomery County was about the third county in the whole state to adopt this program, so maybe in brief kind of explain what the STAR program is.
Sure. STAR stands for Saving Tomorrow's Agriculture Resources. Started just 2 years ago in Champaign County by two of the farmers on our board, Steve Sirwald and Joe Rothermel, who both used a lot of conservation practices themselves and frankly got a little frustrated that there weren't more farmers who were starting to use those better practices. One of the things we've talked about is there's always a little concern that if we don't do something to reduce the nutrient losses that we know occur that end up in the Illinois River and the Mississippi and even the Gulf, that the government may tell us what we can do and can't do, and none of us really want that. And so they started the program with the idea of it allows a farmer to fill out a one-page simple form, takes about 3 minutes for a field, one field at a time, and it simply lets them identify what kind of practices they're using. And then we actually had a science committee who developed which practices should be used and which should not. They also identified the points that would be assigned to various good practices. And then the total points for that particular field on that form is converted into a star rating of anywhere from 1 to 5 stars for a particular field. So obviously, it's nice to have a star rating, but what we really want to see is over the years, we want to see farmers learn from that, that there are practices that they can do that ultimately will pay off. They reduce their costs and ultimately have better net income.
And not only will it result in net income, there's also a few more incentives that would go along with it as well.
Right. We really believe that it's important, obviously, for a farmer to not just get along with others in agriculture, but also what about the neighbor? The story I've told today, for example, about one of our farmers who put up a sign and then a neighbor who had nothing to do with agriculture, just lived in the country, stopped and said, well, what in the world is that sign? And so that farmer was able to talk about how he's doing things to reduce the nutrient losses, therefore helping the environment, which of course we know is what all of our neighbors want to hear.
And of course, too, now the program has expanded. There's about 30 counties here within the state, a lot more to the eastern part of the state. Madison County is also with the program. If there's any farmers out there that may be interested in this program, but they may not be in a county that has it, Macoupin, Christian, Fayette, counties like that, how could they go about it?
Well, Melissa Cobble here with the Montgomery County Soil and Water is starting to get really involved with helping farmers and filling out the forms and doing the scoring. One of the things we want to emphasize is that once one of us, in my case, Champaign County, when I get the field forms, I do the scoring. I'm the only person other than the farmer who ever knows what that farmer's field earned. So we don't tell anybody else. Melissa's doing the same. But if you're from Montgomery County, you should contact her. If you're from some of the surrounding counties, you can still contact her. She might be very willing to help you and actually score your field as well. I do the same thing in Champaign. In fact, I've told people, I don't care where you're from, if your county's not offering it, you want to contact me and send me field forms, I'll score them and send you that information. You could just go to the easiest way is to email me, which is at star@ccswcd.com. So that's the Champaign County Soil and Water Conservation District.com. And I'll be glad to interact with you. We have on our website, we have a fillable form, so it can be done pretty easily with a computer and just insert the answers and then email it in, and it comes to me. And again, I score it, send back the results.
Yep, and that would sure be a good way to expand this program to the other counties as well. And I'm sure that's probably a goal of this program, is to get to all the counties in Illinois.
Well, one of the main things I haven't even mentioned is we don't charge anything. This is free. Most farmers I know certainly like free things. They don't particularly want to pay for something. And in this case, there isn't a proven benefit at this point. Like, we're not paying you to do it. No company's going to pay you necessarily at this point. But we really are excited about what we can see happen and ultimately how this can help farmers, again, learn what practices they should be using.
Thank you so much, Bruce. That was Bruce Hendrickson with the Champaign County Soil and Water Conservation District.
And if you are interested in the STAR program, you can contact the Soil and Water Conservation District office in Montgomery County at 532-3361, extension 3. In other news, back on Saturday, February the 16th, around 250 kids, parents, and industry professionals gathered at the Illinois State Fairgrounds for an inaugural youth event dedicated to the pork industry. The Livestock Center was home to a skill-a-thon, hands-on activities, trade show booths, and a list of presenters all focused on pork education. IL Pork Youth Day, as it has been termed, was created by the Youth and Education Committee of the Illinois Pork Producers Association. This committee consists of board members, industry representatives, and volunteers. Conversations around lack of labor in the livestock industry, plentiful jobs, and an abundance of youth interested in swine sparked the idea to build the one-day event. Participants were able to register for the event free of charge, courtesy of the IPPA and multiple sponsors. Upon entry, youth were divided into two age divisions, the junior division of 8 to 13 years old and the senior division of 14 to 18 years old. This allowed the events to be tailored to the audience at hand. On one side of the Livestock Center, participants were able to compete in a skill-a-thon. This event consisted of 10 stations, each of which offered a worksheet that the student must complete and turn in for a grade. Topics included breed identification, cut of meat identification, feed labels, and vaccinations. At the end of the event, sheets were collected, and the top three scores of each age division were awarded prizes. On the opposite side of the Livestock Center, families were able to listen to presentations on various topics. Speakers included Ty Ingnell of Linder Show Feeds on animal nutrition, Brian Arnold, Terry Moeller, and Luke Wall of Zotis Animal Health, and Todd Roddybaugh of National Pork Board on Pork Industry 101. And a career panel including Ashley Kaufman of Showbloom, Dr. Wesley Lyons, DVM of Pipestone Veterinary Services, and Heath Harper of the U of I. A delicious pork burger lunch and or prizes were provided by the IPPA to participants. Other sponsors of the event were Zotis, Linder Show Feeds, Farm Credit Illinois, The Mastroffs, Early Bird Nutrition, Sunglow, ShowRite, ProFit, The Equity, and the Pork Checkoff. The Illinois Pork Producers Association would like to thank all the attendees for participating in the event and allowing them to spread their excitement for the pork industry. Continuing with news in the pork industry, the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, or NASS, is contacting producers for the March Hog and Pig Survey. This survey is the most comprehensive gathering of quarterly data on the market hog and breeding stock inventories, as well as pig crop and farrowing intentions in the United States. According to the most recent quarterly hog and pig report in December, there were 74.6 million hogs and pigs in the United States, said Mark Sloysener, state statistician of the NASS Illinois office. The March survey and resulting report will continue to provide important indicators for the industry of what changes are occurring, if any. NASS will mail the questionnaires to all producers selected for the survey in February. To ensure all survey participants have an opportunity to respond, NASS interviewers will contact producers who do not respond by mail or online to conduct telephone and personal interviews. The data gathered in this survey will allow NASS to accurately measure and report conditions and trends in the U.S. pork industry over the past 3 months. The information is used by all sectors of the industry, including producers themselves, to make sound and timely business decisions. NASS will publish the survey in the Quarterly Hog and Pig Report on March 28th. All NASS reports are available online at nass.usda.gov/publications. And for more information, you can call the NASS Heartland Regional Field Office at 800-551-1014. And in local ag events, the Gillespie FFA alumni will be hosting a pancake and sausage breakfast tomorrow morning, Saturday, from 7 to 10 a.m. at the Gillespie High School cafeteria. Ages from 5 to 12 are $5, and ages 13 and older are $7. Proceeds from this breakfast will go to benefit the scholarship fund for the Gillespie High School FFA. For this Friday morning, February the 22nd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.